Welcome to the Insurance Huddle, hosted by me, Dr. John Wales. This is the place to be for insurance brokers, agents, and agencies, where we break down topics important to the insurance community with insights from industry experts. Welcome to the Insurance Huddle, the place to be for insurance brokers, agents, and agencies, where we break down topics important to the insurance community with insights from industry experts. Today's industry expert has over 9 years of experience in the property and casualty insurance industry. And with 5 years as an agency owner, he has a proven track record of success in risk management and business development. As the owner of Lasa Links Insurance, he is known for his high level of integrity and strong desire to protect his clients, which has led him to be one of the top agents in the Miami, Florida area. He is here today to help us improve our agencies by sharing his knowledge of P&C with his fellow agents. I would like to welcome to the huddle, Mr. Rob Lasa.
Thanks, John.
One of the things I wanted to talk about was where you see the insurance industry in Florida, and what are some of the tips that you can give our agents nationally to help them solidify and grow their agencies?
One of the big issues we're having in Florida right now is the hardening of the property market. I foresee the state getting involved at some point because, especially in South Florida, we're seeing premiums that are just out of control, skyrocketing. And it's gotten to the point where people are literally buying or stripping down their policies just to get it as cheap as possible. You know, when you have someone who's paying $1,000 a year in Central Florida, but in Miami, Florida, for the same property, they're paying $6,000-$7,000, you know, that's a big issue. So I definitely foresee the state having to get involved at some point because we can't just deal with citizens all the time. But those are Florida issues.
My first agency was based in California, and we had the wildfires. Eventually, they came in with what's called the California Fire Plan, which helped supplement the fire damage. But one of the things, as they were doing that, I noticed we saw a pattern of insureds that were stripping out coverage for their policy to try and bring that premium to affordable level. But then when a loss happens, we found that there were a lot of things that just weren't covered. Yeah. Do you see the same trend happening? You know, are you worried that if a storm comes through that the insureds may not have the proper coverage?
Oh, absolutely. It's been happening for, I'd say, 18 months, the period of time where people have actually seen the significant price increases. But I saw the writing on the wall about 3 or 4 years ago, which is why I got myself into commercial insurance. I had dabbled in commercial before, but I didn't really take it seriously until about 4 years ago because I saw where the personal lines property market was. And I didn't want to be caught holding a book of business of homeowners only and be stuck with not having enough access to carriers that the larger agencies have. And then I basically risk losing my entire agency. And that actually did start happening recently. Homeowners ends up being about 40% of my book. And then the rest is commercial. But I didn't have access to a lot of homeowners companies, nor was I able to get access over the past 5 years. Just because I'm a smaller agency, I couldn't even get return phone calls from marketing reps. And so that's one of the reasons I got into commercial, because I wanted to diversify and not leave myself with just a homeowner's book of business, which is where I originally got started. But I also wanted to offer all of my clients a whole platform and basically say, if you're a business owner, you're going to have obviously needs for liability, workers' comp, property, contents, EPLI, whatever it is that the company needs. But you're also going to own a home or at least rent a place. You have a place that you're going to live. So it ended up being one of the best things I ever did was jumping into commercial, because I was able to round out accounts in that way. And I have found that cross-selling a commercial client to personal is a lot better and a lot easier than cross-selling a personal lines customer to commercial. I don't know why. I haven't figured out why. It's just from my experience and looking at the statistics, and I was able to convert commercial clients to personal lines cross-selling a lot easier and a lot more than personal lines to commercial.
It's funny that you bring that up, but that's very true. There seems to be a big segment in the market as far as how insureds perceive us. They perceive a commercial insurance agent as having far more knowledge than somebody who maybe specializes in homeowners. So I would come in there with a homeowner's policy and say, okay, let's talk about your business. And I would always hit the wall of saying, oh, I have an agent for that.
Right.
And when I became that commercial agent, I actually saw an uptick in my personal lines policies and what I was booking, because the business owners that I would book, they might have multiple homes. They might have multiple vehicles.
Oh, yeah.
And then I would always come in with workers' comp. And then if I did workers' comp, I would lead in with health insurance. And then I would leave in, you know, buy-sell agreements with life insurance.
Mm-hmm. There's just so much flexibility when you come in as a commercial agent, like you said. And it does have to do with their perception. And we can't change that perception. So we might as well adapt and work with that. You know, it's been my experience as well. It's been a lot easier to approach cross-selling once they're a commercial client versus, you know, just selling them homeowners.
One thing I noticed, and tell me if you're noticing the same thing, but it seems like when I came in with the commercial and then I cross-sold into consumer or life, it seemed like the retention really, really helped. That it helped me maintain the policy, and it helped the policy stick in my book. Are you seeing the same kind of thing?
Absolutely. And I see that each policy that it's added to the account increases the retention dramatically. So, and I actually haven't seen the numbers on this in a couple of years, but I would venture to say, let's say you sell a homeowner's policy to one person, you have probably a 80% chance of retaining them. Okay. If you were to add auto to that, that would become 95%. Okay. And then if you were to add another policy to that, I mean, you'd be at 99. That's how power cross-selling is.
We have a lot of agents that listen to our podcast that are mostly personal lines focused and getting into commercial. You recently went through that journey. What bits of advice do you think you give them?
So the biggest thing with commercial is you do have to know what you're talking about. It's not something to mess around with. You know, one of the mistakes I see often is agents just going out saying, oh yeah, I do commercial. And then when it comes down to actually selling the policy, they can sell them something and they'll make believe like they know what they're selling. But when it comes down to a claim, they realize later on, wow, I have no idea what the heck's going on. I should have known. I should have studied. I should have delved into exactly what this business needs to protect itself, because I am missing. There are a lot of gaps on their coverage. So I would say it's really, really something that's important to learn, study on your off time. I did a lot of that. I did a lot of reading. I did a lot of studying. And at the end of the day, I mean, you're going to make mistakes, but you know, you don't want those mistakes to cost someone $1 million, right? I mean, it's that big of a deal that could literally it could bankrupt someone and destroy their life. So it's something to be taken seriously. The other thing that I always tell, you know, younger agents is two things. Number one, respond. Number two, be honest. Those are the two biggest things. I literally have customers that give me their entire accounts. I mean, or prospects, let's say. People get referred to me and say, I'm going to give you my entire account. And it's because of two things. The person that referred them knows that I'm honest, and the person that referred them knows that I'm responsive. It's so simple, but yet a lot of agents don't get it. So can you imagine not having to do any work? All you have to do is be honest and be responsive, and you're going to AOR accounts. You know what I mean?
As an insurance agent, all I had to do is pick up the phone. With InsurTech and everything, sure, it's easier to connect to the insured, but you still have to communicate to the insured and your prospect in the way that they want to be communicated with.
Of course. I mean, if not, then they might as well just go directly to the carrier, which is plentiful now with a lot of the companies going direct to consumer. What are we doing as agents if we're not responding? You know what I mean?
What's funny is I just had a meeting with the carrier over the shift in the industry of carriers going direct. And the carrier pretty much told me that what we want to make sure that our clients are protected, but we're having agents come in that are writing the policies, not understanding the coverages and how to design right. those policies, and that they're finding that it's a business risk to them, that they're actually being sued because agents are messing up. So we're kind of becoming our own worst enemy by not understanding the products and how to write them. We're bringing in the 100-pound alligator into our industry.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you have to make a decision as an agent, whether you're in it just to make money or, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all in it to make money. Don't get me wrong. I'm not gonna give you the BS idealistic answer here. We're all trying to make money, okay? But do I really want to help this person? Do I really want to help my clients protect themselves? And there really is a really fine line there. And at the end of the day, there are agents out there that just want to make money. They really don't care. But I find for the most part, most agents are out there trying to do the right thing. We just have to do a better job of understanding the coverages, the policies, and being responsive. You know, all you have to do is respond to someone within 24 hours, John. That's it. Obsessive about my phone calls and emails. So I respond to people as soon as possible. But at the end of the day, all you have to do is get back to someone within 24 hours. Is that really that hard?
I always strive to make sure I was responsive to my clients. And one thing that you touched on is, let me know if you had the similar experience. As an agent, when I put the commission ahead of the client, I would lose business. I mean, my business was tanking. When I started putting the client's needs ahead of the commission, that's when I really started making money.
Oh, yeah. And at the end of the day, it's hard to do that because you have to, in a sense, surrender. You have to surrender and say, you know what? I'm going to do what's right for the client. And it's not easy. It's not easy to do that. There's a bit of spirituality in there, which we don't have to delve into. But
yeah,
I mean, it's what it comes down to.
I think the thing that was hard, and I'm sure you have this experience, is not only surrendering to the client, but then admitting that you don't know something.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many agents that I've spoken to that are afraid of those three words, I don't know.
Especially when it comes down to something so simple as, it's not always that simple, but the class code. I've had the same experience where I've taken over accounts just because it was classed improperly.
What do you think is going to happen if there's a claim or a loss on that policy?
Well, you know, the other issue, John, is that at least in South Florida, the culture is very much, I don't care if it's right, I just care that I can afford it. And so that's a whole other issue in itself, right?
I'm sure a lot of our agents are facing the same thing. How are you overcoming that objection? Because that's a culture of risk where I would almost be afraid to write policies because of the E&O risk. How do you overcome that and adequately protect the insured?
So I have to actually get into a long conversation with them and explain to them why it is important to have it classed properly, but then also get down to the root of why they're buying insurance in the first place. You know, you have to get to that root, because if you can't get to that, then there's no way they're going to change their mind. You have to find out why they're buying insurance in the first place. Why are you doing this? I mean, if you're doing this because you honestly and truly want to protect your business, then what you're doing by buying this policy that's classed incorrectly is wasting money. And literally, if you do have a claim, it's not going to be covered. I mean, there's a very good chance it's not going to be covered because it was not written properly. So you have to get to the root of why they're buying insurance in the first place.
That is great advice. I'm not sure I do that all the time. I focus in on what the coverage does and what the policy is designed to do, but I don't think that I routinely make sure that there's alignment between what they're looking for and what the policy does.
That's something that I'm eternally grateful to Northwestern Mutual for. My first job in insurance, which was 12, 13 years ago, was selling life insurance at Northwestern Mutual. And one thing that they did was train us properly on getting to the root of why people are buying insurance. And I've taken that with me every step of the way in my insurance journey.
I think that's the golden nugget in this episode of our podcast. Are you aligned with what their goals are for that insurance?
There's always going to be obstacles in getting people to understand why they're buying it, why the price is what it is. But at the end of the day, if you don't have that emotional connection with them, or it's not always emotional, but at least it's logical. You have to have that connection with them. Like, why am I doing this? Why am I buying insurance? It's super important.
So if we have somebody that is getting into the insurance business, what advice, as a summary, would you give them as they start their business?
The biggest advice I would give is don't go at it by yourself. It's an enormous task and struggle to go at it by yourself. And you don't have to. There are a lot of resources now that you can use and take advantage of that will give you access to all the markets that you need to be competitive. You have to have markets in order to compete. Every agent that I know that has tried to go at it by themselves 2 to 3 years, they have ended up within 6 months closing shop because none of the insurance companies are appointing. So you're going to have to take a hit in some way because there's no other way to compete with all the agencies that have been around for 10, 20, 30 years.
Yeah, one of the statistics that we're seeing that there is a 90% failure in agencies trying to go out there and just be everything to everybody because of the market limitations where they can't access the products that they need to help their insureds. If somebody comes in very specific, like they're going to do homeowners and they're able to sell to the carrier that they're going to write so many policies and meet the volume commitments, then we're seeing the rate of success is much higher in those agencies. But it's like the old West. When I started, you would start and you could put up a tent on a corner and everybody would appoint you and you were able to write business.
The good old days.
Yeah, you know, back in the Stone Age. We're not seeing that anymore. We're seeing it's very challenging to get carriers to work with agents. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that in Florida specifically, there's a lot of people who thought that opening an insurance agency would be easy, maybe because they saw other insurance agents were doing so well, making lots of money. But what they don't realize is what that agent had to do with 10 years of his career in insurance. You know what I mean? Even when times were good and companies were appointing, the first 7 years, let's say, of being in insurance is a total grind. I mean, I tell people all the time, this is not easy. It's great. It's absolutely amazing once you get established. But there is a reason why it's amazing, because the first 7 years are an absolute grind. You really have to work at it and you have to want to do it. You have to want to help people because you're not going to make a lot of money the first few years. It's going to be a grind.
I must have been a slow learner because it took me 10 years.
You know, but the thing is, you have people that will look at insurance agents and they'll see them. Hey, this guy's playing golf. You know, this guy has a nice car, a nice home, but he doesn't realize that guy's been in insurance for 15 years. When that guy was 5 years into it, he didn't have all those things. He was grinding it out. And it's a much bigger grind than a lot of other businesses. So, you know, as far as getting started, I would say get as much help as you can. Even me, that I had success starting 5 years ago, I had success, but then I hit a plateau because I couldn't get access to more companies. So I ended up joining with a national firm called Covered by Sage. And just joining them, I've already almost doubled my personal line sales because I didn't have the access to homeowners markets, for example, that I had before. So now I can be, even though it's not incredibly cheap, okay, it's not cheap at all, but I still have the most competitive markets that I can have to compete in the market down here. And so that would be my best advice. Get as much help as you can. You don't have to join a firm or do a franchise, but there's aggregates out there. You know, there's alliances you can join. Don't think that you have to go at this by yourself to be successful. Suck it up, accept the help, and I promise you it'll be worth it.
I don't know a lot about Covered by Sage, but I know you brought them to our attention here. Can you tell me a little bit about your decision to align with them?
Absolutely. So about 2 years ago, I started looking at different companies to partner with, and I actually ended up almost buying a franchise a year ago. I almost bought a We Insure franchise, but for some God-given reason, I put it on hold. I think what bothered me was the franchise fee, because I was rolling over a significant book of business, and I was like, you know, I don't want to have to pay this franchise fee. And it ended up being the best decision ever, because I ended up finding Covered by Sage earlier this year, and it was basically all the benefits of buying a franchise without all the fees. So they're basically a company that started with the idea of being technology driven. They are an agency, but their whole goal is to be a technology driven agency. Okay. so that all of the agents can succeed at a much higher level. And I can tell you from experience that I've been with them for 4 months now, and I can tell you that they are light years ahead of any other agency in the United States when it comes to technology and what they're doing, what they plan on doing, the roadmaps, and they have the funds to do it. So I'm super excited. So far, it's been great. But ultimately, the most amazing thing about the company has been the support and the resources. You know, everybody really wants to help. I have all the markets I need. And when you need a market, they will go, they will stop at nothing to get that market for you. And so it's been a good decision so far.
They've worked with us, and do you have access to this market, or can you create access to this market?
Yeah, I mean, I already tell all the new agents coming in, but you guys have no idea how lucky you are to have the resources. Because when you're on your own, it's really hard to create, let's just say, you know, a personal lines carrier cheat sheet. You know what I mean? If you have a property, how amazing is it that you can go to a sheet and that sheet will tell you, based on the characteristics of that property, which company is going to have an appetite for that property. And you can then go to your rater and quote those companies. I don't know any company that does that right now. And it's all in one collaborative program where everyone is collaborating. You can chat with everyone within the agency. You have all the documents, all the files, all the sheets that you need to succeed. Everything is there. And it's all in one place. I'm telling you, no one's doing this. It's a huge opportunity for growth. And like I said, you don't have to do that. A lot of people want to go independent, but in Florida, it's extremely difficult, if not impossible, to start off right now and be 100% independent. You got to get help from somewhere.
I remember struggling to place commercial insurance. It seemed like everybody was requiring production minimums. Either who had asked me for a copy of my business plan and a copy of my current financials just to decide if they would want to do business. And I would see deals that I could have written just walk out the door because I didn't have access to the markets that I needed to write them. So that's
right.
That's one of the reasons why I joined forces with CoverWallet for Agents, is I wanted to really help our agents grow. And we've morphed in from just a plain technology company to a technology company that's designed to really help our agents grow their business. I'm going to put you on the spot. Rob, what do you think of the tools that CoverWallet for Agents and Aon are bringing to the table?
CoverWallet is something that I find priceless, to tell you the truth. I have discussions with agents all the time, and their argument is, I'm going to go direct because I get the most commission. And I tell them, I say, okay, well, what's the average premium that you're writing for these commercial policies? And they'll say maybe $2,500, $3,000, or even $5,000. I said, okay, great. Well, when you have an average, that means you also have a lot of policies that are $500, $1,000. And when it comes to small business, you know, you're not dealing with huge premiums. So when it actually comes down to calculating the commission difference, when you're going direct, you may lose 2-3% at most. But guess what? When I use the CoverWallet platform, I'm literally only putting in 5 minutes of work. I mean, 10 minutes max, John.
When I first started, it would take me 4 hours to write a professional liabilities policy. And
yeah,
if you remember the day where you had to type in all the accords and
oh man, them out. No.
We had a race, and I was able to bind a real policy for a real insured. I was able to bind a professional liability policy in 4.5 minutes.
Oh yeah, and check this out, John. I get excited, man. Like, I'm such a nerd. I'm such an insurance nerd and technology nerd, man. I get excited about this stuff. So because I operated an insurance by myself, even when I was at an independent agency, not owning an agency, I was still doing the accords. I was still doing all the work and did so as I operated my own agency for the first 3 years. So once CoverWallet came around, it was like, okay, I can send the customer or the prospect a link. They fill out the information, which, by the way, is a huge E&O save. I'm not filling out information for them or making up information. They're filling it out. When it's done, I get an email saying, hey, you have quotes ready, or your customer has submitted an application. Number two benefit, diligent effort is done already. If for whatever reason, it's not a fit for the private markets, for Chubb, Star, Hiscox, or whatever, my diligent effort is done. And guess what? I can download the Accords directly from the platform. I don't have to waste time doing Accord forms. And I can use those Accord forms and upload them to an ENS platform that I use that has OCR technology. And so when I upload the Accords, that system automatically takes all the data and creates a quote for me for ENS.
Yep. To give you an inside, Rob, pretty soon you're not going to have to do that. We'll announce it here. We are bringing in ENS surplus lines to the platform.
Well, yes, there you go. I know we've talked about it several times. Again, now we're saving even more time. I don't have to worry about Accords.
Yeah, the main goal of what we're doing is I help our agents. As we're wrapping up here, if you had one solid bit of advice other than don't do it alone to seek help, what would be your best advice for the new agents getting into the market that would help them succeed?
Focus on the customer. Try and be as efficient as possible so that you can spend time having conversations and building relationships. That right there is the key. If you don't build relationships, all you are is a chop and shop.
That is a golden piece of wisdom. Thank you, Rob. We appreciate you joining the Insurance Huddle. If our agents want to find you, how can they find you?
They can find me at the Olympics in Tokyo. I'm competing there. No, I'm just kidding. My email is rob.lasa, L-A-S-A, at coveredbysage.com. And you can also call me at 305-934-7840. I'm very available and willing to chat with people, especially when it comes to technology and insurtech, man. I geek out on that stuff. So feel free to reach out whenever.
That's it for this edition of the Insurance Huddle. We'll see you next time. In the meantime, be sure to check out our Facebook page and Medium blog, linked in the description box down below, for more great resources. This podcast has been brought to you by CoverWallet for Agents, the easiest way for insurance agents to quote, bind, and service their small business clients. All online and in minutes. Check us out at CoverWalletForAgents.com.